Well, if you have a Bible nearby, I'd like to invite you to open it up to the book of Ephesians, and today we're going to be in chapter 4. Well, as we begin, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone in which they said, "I believe that God is," and then there's that statement, right? Which is usually a view that a person holds about God. If you've ever been again in a conversation where someone has said this, you know that really there's a variety of things that someone might say in regards to the views or the beliefs that they hold about God. You might hear anything from God is loving to wrathful, God is merciful to condemning, God is powerful to weak, or God is alive, or even to God doesn't exist. I mean, from believer to atheist, there's no doubt that every person seems to have a belief about God. Ligonier Ministries of the late Dr. R.C. Sproul writes in an article entitled, "Why Theology is Necessary," that it is impossible to go an entire lifetime without coming to some kind of idea about God. You know, as we think about that, it raises this question of how can we know if what we believe, because we all believe something about God, but how can we know if what we believe is true? Well, that's the very thing that we're going to discuss today. Now, if you're joining for the first time, we're in the middle of a series on the book of Ephesians in which we've entitled God Has a Plan. Now, my guess is that you, like me, at some point have felt like just the opposite is true. As we look at what takes place in the world around us, and maybe even as we reflect on our own personal hardships, sometimes it doesn't feel like God has a plan. You know, if you've ever felt that way, then let me say this, that the book of Ephesians is for you. You see, Ephesians is a letter written from a pastor to the church that he helped start that really serves as an encouragement. You see, this community, they were facing many hardships. They were going through numerous challenges, and they were wondering some of the same questions that you and I wonder about where is God and does he have a plan? So this pastor, who is the Apostle Paul, he writes this letter to encourage them, to remind them that even when it doesn't seem like it, God does in fact have a plan for our lives, a plan for this world, and a plan for the life to come. You know, really what Ephesians is it's a letter designed to help us see that plan. And in Ephesians 4, which we're going to be talking about today, we discover that a key component to God's plan is that he has given us the ability to know what is true about him. So again, if you have a Bible, Ephesians chapter 4, and let's start in verse number 11. "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." Now, if you caught last week's service, you know that we've already discussed a few of these verses, in particular, those that speak of the work of the ministry. And if you missed that, I would encourage you to go to our website, our YouTube channel, our Facebook, and you can catch up on that service. But for this week, really, we're going to kind of camp out on verses number 14 and 15, where Paul is speaking about doctrine, deceitfulness, and then the truth. In this passage, what Paul is doing, he's telling the church in Ephesus that there are right things and there are wrong things that we can believe about God and His creation. You know, I think that one of the most important questions that we can ask of ourselves, and it actually might be the most important question, is, are my beliefs about God correct? Again, let me say that question one more time. Are my beliefs about God correct? That may be one of the most important questions that we can ask of ourselves, because the answer to that question influences every area of our life. This is the question that Paul wants the Ephesians to wrestle with. And to discover the answer, they need to engage in the study known as theology. Now, when I say that, for some of us, maybe our eyes kind of glass over, we start singing in our heads because even the word sounds a bit boring. Maybe we're tempted to kind of mentally check out. But before we do that, let me say this, that we're already engaged. You're already engaged in theology. Author and pastor Dr. Kevin DeYoung, when speaking about the beliefs that we hold, that we all hold regarding who God is, what God is like, and what God has done, he states this, that once you begin to answer the question, again, this question of who God is and what God is like and what God has done, you've gone into the realm of theology. As we've already noted, everyone has beliefs about God. And those beliefs stem from doing theology. So in that sense, really, we're all theologians. But what we got to ask is, how can we be good theologians? Or let me put it another way. Where do we get our understanding from God, or a correct understanding of God? Now, before you say, well, of course, he's just going to tell us read the Bible. We're going to talk about that, but let's first consider other avenues in which we might develop our theology. So in our theology, this would be our beliefs about God, about this world, about humanity, about our purpose and our relationship to one another. Let's consider some of these other avenues that might develop our, from what we might develop our theology. Well, the first one would be life experiences. You know, for many, this is the dominant lens through which they develop their theology or their understanding about God. Meaning they have experiences that lead them to certain beliefs. For example, if a person were to lose a loved one in a tragic accident, they may conclude that God is unloving for not protecting their loved one. You know, I get that. When I was 15, I lost someone very close to me through suicide. And when that happened, I was angry at God. No doubt, our experiences shape us. But there's a problem with basing our theology off our experiences. And that is, we all have different experiences. And different experiences lead to different beliefs. And if our beliefs conflict with one another, then they can't both be correct. If you were to study philosophy, you would know that this is the law of contradiction. So experiences can't be the best revealer of truth. You could say, well, another avenue in which we might develop our beliefs is through our feelings. Some develop their theology, again, based off of what they feel. You know, this is very prevalent today, where so much is based on personal feelings. I feel, therefore I should. No doubt, again, that you will agree with me, feelings are very powerful. We all have them. But again, we run into a problem. And that is, we can feel completely different about the same thing. And therefore, because we feel differently, we can develop different beliefs conflicting beliefs. Also, our feelings can change over time, which therefore changes our beliefs. And also, if we're honest, our feelings can be wrong. We can feel passionately about something and be completely wrong. So while our feelings, we could say this, can help us discern truth, they're not the best guide for truth. Which brings us to another point about what we've been taught. You know, sometimes our beliefs are handed down to us by others, by maybe a parent or a mentor, a teacher, a pastor. Maybe you even heard someone say this or something along the lines of, well, this is how I was raised. Again, no doubt that our influences, those who've poured into us, that they shape us and they mold us. But as you've likely already guessed, this again raises a problem in that we each have different people pouring into us and therefore teaching us different things, which can create different beliefs, which leads us right back to this conflicting idea. So experience, feelings, and even how we were raised, although powerful and although influencers, they can't guarantee that what we believe is true, which leaves us either concluding that truth can't be known. So this would be the postmodern view, that there really is no absolute truth, or we have to conclude that truth comes from something beyond ourselves. And for Christians, this is the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 16, states, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Now, I know what someone might say. The Bible is true because the Bible says it's true. That's a bad argument. And you know what? I agree, that is a bad argument. But that's not why I believe that the Bible is true. Christians believe that the Bible is true, that the Bible reveals truth because of divine revelation, meaning that Christ has supernaturally revealed himself in a way that it goes beyond natural experiences, personal feelings, or even what others have taught us. And because of that revelation, we have come to trust that Jesus is God and that by his Spirit, he speaks through Scripture, through the Bible. Also, only Scripture can truly make sense of our world, about how we got here, about our purpose, of why things are the way that they are, how we can trust that certain things will continue in the future, things like laws of nature, as well as who God is, what he desires for this world, for his creation, for us, and how we can know him. In his work, The Institutes of the Christian Religion, John Calvin writes, "Just as old or blurry-eyed men and those with weak vision, if you thrust before them a most beautiful volume, even if they recognize it to be some sort of writing, yet can scarcely construe two words, but with the aid of spectacles will begin to read distinctly. So Scripture, gathering up the otherwise confused knowledge of God in our minds, having dispersed our dullness, clearly shows us the true God." Scripture reveals truth. Therefore, if we want to know if what we believe about God is true, then we have to be in his word. You know, I'll tell you one of the greatest challenges that the church is facing today. It's not the secularization of culture. I mean, think about it. The church was birthed in the midst of the Roman Empire. So that's not a challenge to the church. And It's not about making the church more attractional, although I do believe that we need to learn to minister in a relevant way. The challenge that the church is facing, at least in America, is this. We've gotten away from Scripture. Yeah, we have the Scriptures we like. You know, things like salvation and heaven and blessing and favor. We've kept a hold of those Scriptures. But what about the other ones? What about the ones that are hard to take in? What about the ones that make us uncomfortable? The ones, again, that are hard to accept. Ones that speak of surrender. Ones that speak of dying to oneself. You know, it's tempting to choose what scriptures matter and then by default say which ones don't. But when we do that, we run into the same problem that we've already discussed. We end up with conflicting beliefs, and ultimately, we end up with different gods. Catholic scholar Peter Williamson states in his commentary on Ephesians, he says, "Doctrine, the faith in which Christians are to be united, is vitally important. Paul's letters warn against distortions of the gospel. He corrects immature understandings and provides guidelines for handling disagreements about the gospel's application to life." For Paul, theology is important because when done correctly, it reveals truth, or it teaches truth about God and about God's creation, about you and me. And what Paul is doing here is he's telling the Ephesians that the church needs to be built on truth. Now, one may raise the challenge that regarding the ability to know truth, that the church has a history of at times being wrong, of making statements that it has to later retract and say, we were wrong on that. And if we're honest, even in the church today, many people disagree about what the Bible says on different subjects. You know, both of those, I agree. The church has been wrong, and there does seem to be a lot of dispute taking place about what the scriptures teach. But let me suggest a few things that might help us. Before we arrive at the conclusion of we can't know truth, let me suggest a few things that might help us discern truth. First and foremost, we have to use the scripture to interpret scripture. You know, here's the reality that no scripture stands alone. And we need to use the totality of scripture to understand what the Bible is saying. I mean, the reality is we can make the Bible say pretty much anything we want if we take it out of context. And you know, I hear this a lot. I hear people making statements about the Bible by using verses out of context. We can't read verses as standalones. We need to understand that they're part of a context. Context of that letter or that book in which that verse is found. Context of the testament in which that book or letter is a part of. And then the bigger context of the entirety of Scripture. When we interpret Scripture, we need to interpret it in its context. We need to use the Bible to interpret the Bible. Number two, we need to be conscious of how those before us have understood the text. Now, that doesn't mean that we just blindly accept what we're told. We've already kind of talked about that. But we do need to recognize this, that for 2,000 years, the church has been wrestling with the message of the New Testament. And for roughly 1,000 years more, the Jewish people have had portions of the Hebrew text, so our Old Testament. I mean, it seems that it would be wise to learn how for about 3,000 years, those who have gone before us, how they have understood the text. I remember when I was in seminary, I had a hermeneutics professor, and he said to us one time, he said, if you are studying and you come up with an interpretation that no one else in the history of the church has come up with, you're probably wrong, right? We are wise to learn from those who have gone before us. Number three, we need to speak with humility. You know, here's the reality. None of us are God, and we could be wrong. So whenever we speak, we need to speak with humility. Or as Paul says it, we have to speak the truth in love. Number four, we have to be conscious of how our presuppositions can influence our understanding of the text. You know, as we've already mentioned, we're influenced by our past experiences, by our feelings or our emotions, as well as what we've been taught in our past. And we have to be honest that these things can influence how we read the scriptures. You know, one exercise that I have found helpful over the years when thinking on a topic or a doctrine, maybe especially one that might be difficult, is I always think, if I were alone on a deserted island, right? It's just me, a tree, a couple coconuts, and all I had was a Bible. Therefore, there was no one telling me what to believe. There was no media. There was no outside influence. If all I had was a Bible, what conclusion would I arrive at regarding the teachings of Scripture? You know, and the reason I do that is because basically this, we have to do our best to take Scripture at face value, meaning this, that what the text seems to be saying might be exactly what it's saying. And we have to be careful these other influences don't cause us to read it differently. Is what we believe about God correct? That's the question that we started out today with. And it might very well be the most important question that we can ask. And I think that what we've discovered is that to find that answer, we have to look beyond ourselves. We have to look in Scripture. So I want to encourage you as we close today that if you're not actively engaging in the Scriptures, if you're not regularly reading, I want to encourage you to begin that practice. And I understand it can seem intimidating, but I promise you this, it's really not. Matter of fact, if you would just do this, if you would commit to reading three chapters just three times per week, so maybe you would pick a Sunday and Tuesday and Thursday, and if you would begin in the New Testament with Matthew's Gospel, so again, three chapters three times a week, starting in the New Testament, if you would do that, you could read through the entire New Testament in less than 29 weeks, which is just a few weeks over 6 months. I mean, think about that. In 6 months, you could read through the entire New Testament and discover the truth that God has in there for you. You know, God has a plan for you and for me, and His plan includes us knowing what is true about Him. And He's given us the Bible so we can do that. So my prayer for you today is that you will believe what is true about God, because what you believe is grounded in the Scriptures. Let me pray for us today. Heavenly Father, we thank You for giving us Your Word so that way we can know truth. The truth about who You are, what Your will is, about the life that You've created us for, and Your promise of eternal life because of the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. Lord, we thank You for Your grace, and we thank You for Your Spirit that guides us in truth. I ask, Lord, that You would help us to surrender ourselves to You. Help us to not allow our experiences, our feelings, or that which has been handed down to us to cause us to miss what you're communicating through your word. Instead, God, put a hunger in us for scripture and allow us to hear from you what you are saying. And Lord, as we read, may we not just be hearers, but as James tells us, to be doers of what you're revealing. Mold us into the people that you've created us to be, and use us, your church, to reveal your love and to expand your kingdom by making disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through our service, Jesus, we pray that you would be glorified. God, again, we thank you, we love you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.